Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, we have the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time, Bully Ray, and we get into AEW's All Out, the main event between Jon Moxley and CM Punk that led to the return of MJF. Also, we get into the surprise, and I mean surprise reaction from the crowd in Chicago for the Acclaimed. We get into all of that, our All Out breakdown right now on the Busted Open Podcast. It's a main event that we thought we were going to see at All Out changed, and we saw it on Dynamite, and then we saw the rematch last night. But maybe even more important than that was what we saw after the main event was over. But Mark, let's start with you. What did you think overall of what we saw in the ring between Moxley and Punk?
It was what I wanted the first match to be. And I think that people got what they wanted. And, you know, I've been hurt before. Came back from injury. And as soon as I felt a twinge, I re-broke it. I re-injured it. Damn it. And then you mail it in. And I think that's what happened with Punk. That's my opinion. It's not fact. It's not based on anything, but other than my feeling about it. And I think now that Punk realized it's not broke, it's not rebroken. Maybe I broke up some scar tissue. You know what I'm saying, Bully? You feel and you go, damn it. And it pops or crackles. But that's just the scar tissue breaking up. It didn't re-injure you. It released your mobility. It allowed you to be able to move around even more, unabated. So I think that's what happened. And Punk was able to go out there and put the kind of performance together that everybody wanted to see the first time.
Yeah, and Bully, before we get into what happened, you know, in the ladder match and what we saw at the end after the main event was over, you know, I think Mark is right. This is the match that we thought we were going to see. This is the match that we hope to see. We didn't see it the first time on Dynamite, but it looks like we got it last night at All Out. Your thoughts?
Mark, I appreciate what you're saying and the perspective that you're taking on this. And I get it. And I'm not going to ruin it for the people that are listening who are into your perspective on this.
No, give your opinion.
I'm going to. But you're taking it. You're taking it from one side of the curtain. I'm going to take it from the other side of the curtain.
Okay, good.
I don't know how a guy who got beaten so definitively in 3 minutes and had a major, major injury that he couldn't walk away from the ring from could all of a sudden miraculously come back. Unless he went to Benny Hinn or a faith healer and got better, I don't know how he miraculously was ready to go. Unless they jacked his leg up with so much cortisone or ankle up with so much cortisone. My point is this. You can't beat a guy as definitively as you beat him and then come back and happen what happened last night.
Well, they did.
Yeah, they did. That doesn't make it right. Now, fans enjoyed it. It was a good match last night. Everybody liked it. I liked it. I would have enjoyed this more if they would have stayed away from the ankle injury, because the ankle injury obviously is a non-issue. It's just, it never really was a thing. I would have rather have seen a shock and awe moment like we saw a la Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, than try to hide behind some kind of injury, because obviously there's no injury there. We're working an injury, which is totally fine. So when I see, when I look at the timeline of events from Punk coming back to the actual injury, to the match against Moxley, to what we saw last night, even JR went on record at an interview he did two nights ago. And he said, I don't know how they're getting around this storyline wise, because quite frankly, and this is JR's words, I don't know how Punk earned a rematch so quickly after having his ass handed to him in 3 minutes definitively. And now we have this ankle. I mean, in just a couple of days, this ankle, you know, miraculously healed. And I know this is sports entertainment. We have creative liberties. But it just was, it seemed like the ankle injury was put in place as a crutch when I don't think those two guys needed a crutch.
Well, I'm going to expose myself.
Not, whoa.
Not literally, not right here in front of you, Dave. I'm sorry. But I had surgery on my right shoulder in 04. When I was working with Chris Benoit. I thought about quitting wrestling at the time because I don't know. After the disappointment of having a main event match at WrestleMania get taken away from you because you got injured, it sucked. And I was emotionally like just pissed. So I'm training and getting physical therapy and stuff. And I still don't have 100% range of motion in my shoulder. I go to the 24-hour fitness in Austin, and I'm playing pickup basketball. And I saw a little window, and I got the ball, and I see this guy streaking to the basket. And I said, I'm going to throw it through there. But, you know, like my right shoulder's still in recovery. And I try to throw it, and I thread it. I mean, the dude gets the ball, lays it up. It looks like some LeBron James type shit. I mean, it was awesome. And my shoulder went. And I went, oh, I panicked. I thought I ripped the sutures out. I thought I was done. And about an hour later, it broke. What happened was, is I broke up that scar tissue that I'm getting physical therapy every day, and they're slowly trying to get it right. You understand? But I just crackled it all out at one thing, and my shoulder was 100% in about 2 days. It was sore. It was sore because I broke up stuff. But I was 100%. Excuse me. I was 100% in 2 days after that, and I was able to go back to work like nothing never happened.
And I think that's kind of like what the story they were saying coming off the heels of what happened last Wednesday. That was more of a fear of that foot than the foot actually being a problem. And that's right. Why, you know, they're kind of
reality
that it was like he lost the confidence because he said he wasn't in pain. He didn't feel anything. So right away, he thought that that foot was going to be a problem again. And obviously it turned out not to be, but the lack of confidence, but that changed when we saw last night, you know, being there in the crowd bully last night, it was pretty strange. And here's why. We know how popular CM Punk is. And obviously CM Punk got one hell of a pop, but so did Moxley.
Yes,
he did. Moxley got one. And I was like, wow, this crowd's going to be split. But it seemed like during the course of that match, they turned on Moxley and they were booing Moxley and then completely behind CM Punk. Obviously, we're going to get into another match that was very similar to that last night in a tag match for the championship. But like, I think goal was accomplished because Bully, by the time that match was over, that Chicago crowd was firmly behind CM Punk.
But I also think that that speaks to how popular John Moxley is. Would you ever walk into Yankee Stadium and hear people cheering for the Red Sox?
Never, never.
And would that's you ever why walk into?
No, but that's why it kind of took me by surprise. Listen, I was gauging the crowd, Bully, all weekend long. When we did our event on Saturday, I asked, who are you behind in the main event? Is it Punk or Moxley? And it was split 50-50 at the Pro Wrestling Tees event yesterday afternoon. I did the same thing and it was split 50-50. And I thought that that crowd was going to be 50-50. But to your point, Bully, I was pretty floored by the ovation Moxley got when he came out last night.
It's hard to forget that despite the fact that Chicago, CM Punk, hometown guy, It's hard to forget that we still love John Moxley. Moxley's entrance is amazing. Him playing, you know, coming out to Wild Thing and coming out through the crowd. It's a very unique entrance. It's reminiscent of the Sandman back 30 years ago and how much fun the entrance is. So no matter how much people love CM Punk and how he's the hometown guy, here comes John Moxley, and we don't have any reason to really hate him. And oh, by the way, he beat our hometown guy in 3 minutes as clean can be in the middle. So it's like, let's get behind him. Let's enjoy the entrance. Let's have some fun with this. We'll chant for him a little bit. But at the end of the day, we're going to get behind our hometown guy.
And that's what happened. And it would have been interesting to see what that match would have been like if it was anywhere but Chicago and what that crowd would have been. I still, Mark, think that as popular as CM Punk is, and listen, we'll get into, he's outspoken. Some people don't like it. Some people love the fact that he's, but Punk is Punk. And that's who he is, and he's not going to change for anybody. I still think, Mark, at the end of the day, John Moxley, to me, is the face of AEW.
I don't know about the face, but he's definitely the heart and soul. Mm. He's the guy that everybody loves to get behind, and his identity as a ass-kicking, I don't care about what happens or who is the principal or who makes the most money. I'm going to come to the ring and smash your face in. It's going to be a bloody mess, and I'm going to wipe your blood on my chest. And, like, I mean, he's – Dave, there's no chill in John Moxley. And that's what the fans love. They love the fact that he has zero chill.
Yeah.
He is 100%, I'm going to make you look bad all the time. And that, and who doesn't want to be that guy?
And I thought the match that they had was incredible. Going back to your point, I think – it was the match that people wanted to see from the get-go. And you know what, Bully, you said it on Busted Open, and I didn't agree with you. We actually had not only the conversation on Busted Open, but you and I had a personal conversation about it. You know, I didn't think that having that match on TV was going to do a big number, and it got over 1 million. And then the next week, we're like, all right, are fans going to be disappointed that it was a 3-minute match? We'll find out in the rating the next week. And then the next week, they got over 1 million. So if the reason why they went that line was, hey, we're going to put it on TV so we pop a rating, get people more interested in the pay-per-view, and then take it to what we saw last night, I guess you have to say mission accomplished, right, Bully?
So now you're touting the rating system?
Well, the only reason why is because I didn't think, Bully, I didn't think it would move the needle. I really didn't. That's why
I did.
And I didn't think it was. And I got to eat some crow, and I got to praise you for what you said, because you're 100% right.
One of the things that they did last night that I absolutely loved, and it happened at the very, very, very end of the pay-per-view. I think it was, oh my God, who's the masked announcer? His name is just something.
Excalibur.
I think Excalibur said, you have to tune into Dynamite on Wednesday to see what happens next. I'm paraphrasing, or something like that. I love the connecting of the dots. I love the fact that out comes MJF to this massive reaction. There's Punk holding the championship up. There's MJF, you know, flashing the signal that he's going to be the next champion. What's going to happen? And then we're reminded that you have to tune in on Wednesday to see what's going to happen next. That is good, simplistic storytelling, reminding the people of where they can find the product on the night in which they need to generate the most interest, which is Wednesdays and Friday nights. So I really like that. And I'm happy to see that they popped a number. They popped a number for the match. And because the match was done so differently, it intrigued people enough to stick around the very next week to see what's going to happen next. And I think last night they did a good enough job with their pay-per-view, especially the way they went off the air. And now the intrigue of MJF for the same amount, if not more, people to tune into on Wednesday night. Listen, the summer is over. You know, kids back in school, you know, people getting back into this whole 9-to-5 swing of things, more apt to be parked in front of their television sets on Mondays, when, you know, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, you know, Thursdays and Fridays, almost every night. But I thought they did a great job of getting me to want to tune in on Wednesday.
You know, I think that if you talk about popping a number, there's two things I want to touch on. The popping a number thing, MJF coming back, what is the number going to be like on Wednesday? That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is what we talked about before we started talking about this is the Jim Ross saying that, you know, how are they going to get by, you know, with this and that. Every major champion, it always gets a rematch. Like, you know, you lose the title, you get a rematch. It just so happened that this pay-per-view was really, really close.
But they did it in a clever way, Mark, because we talked about it. You know, sometimes you don't see the champion get a rematch, but what did Moxley do? He left an open challenge, and that open challenge was accepted by Punk. So I thought they covered their bases, because you can come out and say, well, not every champion has gotten a rematch. Well, they did it in a way where you could go with that logic, or you could say that Punk made an open, that Moxley made an open challenge and Punk answered that challenge.
And what did Moxley say? Moxley said, I beat your ass once, I'm gonna beat your ass again. He was overconfident too. So there was a lot of factors. They put all the ducks in a row for everybody to be able to understand. Even an 8-year-old fan understood Moxley was not afraid of Punk. He was overzealous in the fact that, open challenge. Come on, let's do it again. Let's run it back. He was the
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You talked about ducks in a row. If I was in the arena last week when Moxley put out an open contract to any challenger, I would have hit the ring and signed it in a heartbeat. Nobody did. Mark, how come you didn't run out there?
Oh, he's not going to whoop my ass. I'm going to tell you right now.
I understand the ducks in a row.
24/7 championship.
But Moxley goes, hey, whoever wants a shot. Moxley says, whoever wants a shot can have a shot. And all you heard was crickets in the background. Nobody came out. How do you?
It would have been it would have been like the 24/7 championship where everyone's running to the ring.
Maybe it was a big pile up in the back. Nobody could get out.
Maybe somebody locked the door. Yeah, it was a log jam. It was a log jam at the entrance.
Hey, everyone, it's Brad the Big Noise Evans from the Fantasy Fast Track. With the fantasy football season upon us, catch me and Brandon Fun Buns Funston every week as we sprint through a variety of fantasy football topics, including waivers, trade targets, sleepers, plus, and more. If that first place medal is what you're after, we've got the information to help you make it happen. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overage. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. It's crystal clear, and it doesn't kill my monthly budget. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Before we realized it was MJF, I'm sure at home and obviously in the arena, we heard a piece of audio and we heard a familiar voice. That voice is Tony Khan. And it's so funny. We had Tony Khan on the show last Wednesday, and I asked him about the negativity that a lot of people had towards the Punk and Moxley match on Dynamite. And I said, does it bother you? And he said, you know what? No, because I want to do what's right for the fans. Here we are hearing a voicemail message from Tony Khan saying, you know what? I know you don't give a shit about the fans, but I do. And I know the fans want you back. And I think Bully and Mark, the fans did want MJF back. And you could tell by the reaction we got last night.
He's a bastard, though, because if he was to expose a voicemail message that I left him, and I would be so pissed. I would be like, who does that, man? Like, why would you do that? And I've actually, I told you, I had the voicemail of Big Show when I did the retirement speech. I said what he said.
Just so you both know, I saved all your voicemail messages, just so you know.
Just so everybody knows, I don't really call you or leave messages.
Touche.
Oh, God. But I tell you, that is so low.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have a private conversation with somebody and they post. It's like the girls that, you know, the guys that take pictures in the gym of girls on the treadmill. Like, I think that all of those people, those perverts, should be frogged. I think that just going to jail is not enough. You need a whooping. You need a good whooping to tell you that that's not okay.
But you know what? But what MJF was able to do is he backed Tony into a corner. He backed Tony into a corner. It's like, all right, you're going to wait on this. You're going to wait on this. Can't wait on this anymore. And a lot of the ways too, some of those, and going back to our previous conversation about contracts, Bully, like when you first start with a company and it's smaller and it's not making the money that it, you know, it's going to in the future, you sign a deal because you're part of the foundation, part of the pillar, part of the first, you know, pioneers in that company. And then as the company gets bigger and starts making more money, instead of giving that money to the people who helped you start that company, you're giving it to people from outside the company to be a part of your company.
You'd be pissed?
I would be pissed. And Bully, I think that's the point he was making. So this, what happened last night was MJF's way of saying that not only do I want to be, it's not about me wanting to be a part of this company. It's about you needing me to be a part of this company.
So then what you guys are specifically saying is this, because let's not talk around it. You're saying that that MJF had a contract for a specified period of time. And in that period of time, halfway through, let's say, he proved himself to be worth much more than the number on that contract. Yeah. Thus, Tony Khan should have paid him more money in the middle of the deal.
Yeah, Bully, I respect what you're saying because I believe the same thing. I would have said, you know what? And I took a 50% pay cut before in my career. And then with the promise that, oh, well, when business picks up, we'll up your money back and then we'll pay you what you lost. We just don't have it right now. We're trying to cut everybody. Okay, I'll deal with that. Of course, it never happened. I never got the money back. My money did go back up, but I never recouped what I lost. You understand? What he said, let's say it was 300 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say 300 grand, even number. You bring somebody in and you pay them a million. And you're sitting there with two more years of making 300 grand. And this dude has got a 5-year deal for a million. I'm making all this up. This is not real.
No, you could say that hypothetical.
You don't think that guy should, and he helped build the damn company? He's the biggest star, homegrown star in the company. And then you don't give him what those other guys that you paid to come over
work through the pandemic at a time when
he worked through the pandemic.
So what you're saying is that Tony should have seen the value in MJF and bumped him up in the middle of his contract.
That's the story that's being told.
Yes.
That's the story that's being told. They
but
do
the
it
story that's Jaguar. Being told is mirroring reality because that's what happened in reality.
Yes. Is mirroring reality because it is reality. And yes, people have put the feelers out. Hey, you thought about coming to WWF? You thought about leaving AEW and going to Japan or Triple A. I'm making all this shit up. But I'm just saying from a hypothetical standpoint, you see how that feels to you inside?
Of course, I'm a wrestler just like you. Of course I know how it feels.
Yeah, so my self-worth is more valuable than ever how much money you're going to pay me because I'm bleeding for it. I'm a broken fucking dude right now. For all of the wrestling that I did. And I'm not by myself. Everybody is. Can't give me what I did. I feel like this is what I deserve because this is what you paid this guy. And I'm more over than him. The people come to see me.
And I helped build this company.
Yeah.
I helped you to make the money to pay this guy.
And I believe that there was a willingness from a management, forget about management, let's just call it who it is. I believe there was a willingness from Tony to give MJF the money or the bump that he was looking for if MJF would have signed a fresh deal, because I don't think you can put yourself in a position as an owner to just start paying somebody more money in the middle of their deal, because then you set a precedent for every other wrestler.
I can see that. I can see that. I can understand that. But that's where you get, you know, like Tony has a private plane. He could have so easily on one of those flights that MJF flew on his plane said, "Hey man, look, it's just me and you. I value you. I know who you are. I know what you are. I'm going to pay you. I just can't do it right now. Because if I do it right now, then this guy and that guy and that guy, his deals, their deals coming up next year, they're going to do the same thing, and I'm not going to be able to afford that."
But not everybody is MJF. Like, I understand what you're saying, and Bully, what you're saying as far as, like, there's going to be talent, right, that's going to be like, well, if he got a bump, why can't I? Well, not everybody is the elite. Not everybody's as good as MJF, you know?
But that's not, you know, the temperament of people. They're like, well, you paid him. You paid me. I was here, too.
Well, that's why
as a wrestler, the only thing, as an independent contractor, all you have as a safety net is your contract. Guaranteed. That's all you have to go on. And if you are performing above and beyond the call of duty and you still have a year left on your deal and you want more money and the boss wants to give you more money, but wants to sign you for a longer period of time, I do believe that that is two sides coming together to meet in the middle.
Yes.
And that's the way you do it legally, professionally. It sounded like, if you're listening to the whispers or the rumors, it sounded like MJF wanted a bump in his money, but didn't want to sign the new deal as quick. It sounded like Tony wanted to put him on paper. But if I'm going to put you on paper for more money, especially with the money that you think you deserve, and I think you deserve also, I need you to lock you up for a longer period of time.
Well, that's why that
sounds good. Yeah.
But that's why that voicemail that was played is so significant, because honestly, Mark and Bully, was that part of the show? Maybe. Was that a real message that was left on MJF's answer machine? It's possible, right? Because right there, it's like, I gotta make this move. I don't necessarily want to make this move. I think there's something better that was going to be more mutual beneficial for both of us. But now I'm forced to make this move because, hey, my motto is doing it for the fans. The fans want you. So now you're forcing the hand to be able to make that deal. And that's why we saw what we saw last night. Is it part of the show? Probably. Is it real life? Going back to what you said, Bully? It's possible. It's possible.
It's a one-time.
Yeah.
This offer is not going to happen next week.
I think that there are a lot of real life issues going on right now behind the scenes within AEW, but they're doing a good job in blurring the lines and how it plays out in the ring. Got to be careful, though, because if too many of those problems get out of hand, then you have an issue on your hands and you have a locker room full of, you know, unhappy talent. As long as you're able to turn everything that's going on behind the scenes into something positive, you're going to be good.
And, you know, but Bully, like, and we always bring up mainstream sports on this show a lot, especially football. But like, you know, Bully, and you notice you're a Yankee fan. That 77, 78 Yankees, those guys hated each other. You know, that locker room was a mess. The Raiders, you know, the 77 Raiders, that locker room was a mess. They hated each other.
Reggie Jackson and Billy Martin.
Yeah, well, Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson. You know, there was a lot of the most successful teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won four Super Bowls. You know, yeah, the head coach and Terry Bradshaw did not like each other. I mean, you sometimes, even though you may not get along in the locker room and may not get along personally, when it comes to getting on the field and winning, they had no problems winning championships.
No.
So it's funny now, in I guess more because we know more because of social media and because people leak things out. We know more of what goes on behind the scenes. But when I was a Yankee fan, when I was a kid, I thought Reggie Jackson, Thurman Munson, Billy Martin were holding hands walking down the street. I didn't know they hated each other.
Hey, you see it, Bully. Speaking of the Yankees, you see that rocket that Judge hit yesterday?
He's on fire. He might break the record.
450. And Pujols Oh my God. Okay, we'll talk on another show. But man, listen, I really agree with you from the standpoint, Bully, that do your job, respect your contract, and keep it moving. But, and that is a big, giant, huge video model size but, you have to make exceptions to every rule. And, you know, we look at football right now, the Ravens quarterback, Jackson. Jackson wants $230 million guaranteed. Maybe $240 guaranteed because somebody else got it. Not because he feels, you know, I think I'm worth $230. No, it's because there's a precedence that has been set. And then another guy got a 10-year deal for, what, $480 million? I want that. Pay me $230 million, too. So I can't knock it, but I love the fact that this is being used in the business because, one, is educational. It's teaching these young people to pay attention to the numbers, pay attention to the structure around you. But are you able to do the work to get that money? And Max is proving I deserve it because he is trying to get better, even though he's already good. I'm going to change my body up. I'm going to change my cadence, the way that I deliver promos. I'm going to learn to do a flippity flying florin just so I could, you know, woo the crowd. Where's the negative of that?
There's no negative. It's all positive. And we've seen plenty of guys in the industry perform above and beyond the call of duty and not get bumps in money. All right. It seems that Max wanted a bump in money and Tony wanted to give it to him, but wanted Max for a longer period of time. We can sit here and talk till the cows come home about how great Max is. Big fucking deal. He has a contract.
Yeah.
You either fulfill the length of your contract and then renegotiate, or if the boss wants to renegotiate in the middle of the contract, you're going to have to accept the terms that he wants too. Okay, Max, you want more money and I think you deserve more money. But what I need from you is more time on paper.
This is Jimmy Smith, voice of WWE Monday Night Raw and host of Unlocking the Cage on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. And I'm here to let you know that Unlocking the Cage is now available as a podcast. That's right. You'll get my take on the trending stories in combat sports and interviews with some of the biggest names in the fight game. I'm bringing you shows every weekday. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app free for most subscribers.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Busted Open under podcast when you sign up. Busted Open under podcast. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Something that you don't see a lot in the world of pro wrestling, and that is the crowd turn on a wrestler or a match. You don't see it a lot anymore. And we saw that last night. And I want to get your take on what you thought of the match, what you thought of the moments, and would have things been different years ago? And the match I'm talking about was the match for the AEW World Tag Team Champions. And that is Keith Lee and Swerve going up against the Acclaimed. And Bully, like, listen, when the Acclaimed came out, people were into them. They got a nice pop. But people were into the champs as well. It's not like the champs were getting booed when they made their entrance. But as that match went on, I saw a crowd completely changed their perspective. You had 10,000 plus fans cheering the Acclaim, and not just cheering the Acclaim, but booing Keith Lee and Swerve. Like, whenever Keith Lee or Swerve got into the ring, whenever they got any kind of offense, they got booed. I mean, and I'm telling you right now, if the Acclaimed would have won and would have won those tag team champions last night,
it would have been hard to beat.
It would have been hard to beat. And that they would have blew the roof off that place if the Acclaimed would have won those tag titles, Mark.
Yeah, I second that. I mean, just hearing, like, there was a point where Max Caster got pinned and it sounded like Shawn Michaels when he kicked out. It was so damn good. And I told them, I didn't know the finish. So I thought, oh my God, the Acclaimed are going to win. And I went to Gorilla because if they had won those titles, when they walked up the ramp, I was going to be standing there and I was going to scissor the hell out of them. I told them I'm never scissoring nobody. They walk up to me all the time like, hey, scissor. No, if you ever win a championship, I'll scissor you. And so that was our thing. I was going to be standing there and I was going to do it. And I went to prepare to do it. That's how much I thought that they were going to win and how the crowd was just, oh, it was beautiful.
It was definitely a moment. So, Bully, I have to pose this question. A lot of fans around me, everybody assumed if you had to do win-loss down those matches last night, you're probably giving a loss to the Acclaimed going into that match.
Yeah.
But judging from what we were seeing before our eyes, every fan wanted to see the Acclaimed win. Obviously, they lost. My question first to you, Bully, and then to you, Mark. Bully, if this match took place 1985, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95. Would the outcome of that match change last night in Chicago?
Side note, my friend Flounder is a big fan of that scissoring thing. If this match took place 30 years ago, would they have changed the finish on the fly? Are you talking about the wrestlers taking it upon themselves to change the finish on the fly?
Yes. Like, you know, a wrestler saying,
if
like
the promoter didn't want that, then so I don't see that happening.
No, but okay. So
the only situation I can think of, Dave, where a wrestler, well, the only one that I know of where a wrestler took it upon himself to change a finish on the fly is Ric Flair and Jack Venano. When they wrestled in the Dominican Republic because Flair was concerned for his life and his safety. I don't know of any other situations where wrestlers have just taken upon themselves to change shit up on the fly. That is a very risky situation. That's grounds for getting fired, whether that was 30 years ago or today. Say again, Mark.
I said or sued.
Well, you could be sued because that technically would be a breach of contract as you're going against whatever was discussed and, you know, talked about.
Right, let me throw it a different way. What about the promoter making the decision, judging from the crowd reaction, judging from the fact, like, holy shit, we could really make a memorable moment right now with this match where it's like that he's called. All right, we got it. Whatever we have planned, we're changing because we're going to have an unforgettable moment take place here.
I'm sure it's happened. I'm dead sure that that's happened before.
That is a different story because then a promoter could come down to the ring or an agent could come down to the ring, get word to the referee to switch the finish. So, yes, that could definitely happen. If let's say last night something happened where Tony Khan is listening to that match and he's realizing, wow, the Acclaimed is really over. Maybe I should have done this finish a different way. It's very easy for Tony Khan to get word to the referee, switch the finish. And if the referee is switching the finish, it might cause a little bit of confusion amongst the boys, but that's when the referee lets them know, hey, this is coming from the top, Acclaimed over with their finish. One of the bigger issues, I think, in the match last night, Dave, and this is not just last night. This is across the board in wrestling. Mark, you've been in a ring. Want to get your take on this, too. When it comes to making a save in tag team wrestling. Obviously, making the save is when your partner is getting pinned, but you come in to break up the three count. What we saw last night was a three count getting broken up entirely too late, to the point where, in my opinion, the Acclaimed won the match and went over. But it's the way wrestlers are making the saves these days, where they're just diving on the guy on top, and just like, it's almost like flag football. If I can touch the guy on top, then the count just stops. The referee really shouldn't be stopping the count for that. The referee starts to count when he sees shoulders pinned to the mat. So if you're going to make a save in wrestling, moving forward in tag team wrestling, knock the guy on top off of the pin so your partner can get his shoulders up, or pull the guy who's pinning off of the top of the pile. The idea is to get the guy's shoulders off the mat from getting pinned, not just run in and dive on a pile and all of a sudden we get a miraculous save where the referee stops counting.
Yeah, that's just not AEW. That's every wrestling company in the world.
That's why I said across the board, yes.
Okay, good.
I think a rematch is in order based on the maybe mistake that was made on one of the calls.
On TV?
Absolutely. Why not do it on TV? I don't mind titles changing hands on TV. That gives your company the aura of anything can happen at any time. Thus, I have to tune in. Mark, remember when the boys would always complain in WWE, like, how come we never switch a secondary title on a house show? Because if we switch a secondary title on a house show, then we're teaching the audience that they have to show up to a house show, because you never know when you're going to get a title switch and you want to be there when a title changes hands.
Exactly.
Thus, on TV, I'd like to see some type, like a TV championship. I believe a TV championship should change hands on TV frequently.
Well, I mean, there is an event coming up at the end of this month called Grand Slam in Queens, New York. Anthony and Max are both from that area. Anthony from New Jersey and Max from New York. So as loud and as proud as that crowd was in Chicago for the Acclaimed, I would think in front of 22,000 fans in New York City, it's going to be even hotter for the Acclaim. So I would have that rematch at Grand Slam.
Busted Open is a part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The executive producer is Paul Ehrlich. The digital producer is Gabby LaSpisa. Andre Viola is the associate producer. Fight Nation's program director is Eddie Brasilli, or as we call him, Big Boss Man. Eddie Brasilli. Marissa Reeves is the director of sports podcast. A special thanks to senior vice president of sports and podcast, Steve Cohen.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.